This is the Scary Movie Clubcast.
Live from the clubhouse, it's Scary Movie Clubcast. This is Nadine.
And this is Amanda.
And tonight, we watched Nightmare on Elm Street. To give you guys a quick summary of the movie, this is a movie about four teenagers whose nightmares turn out to bring them a lot of pain in their real lives because their parents have murdered a child killer who got off because of some technicality and is now coming back to take revenge and kill their kids. Mm-hmm. Amanda is going to give us some fun facts about the movie.
Yeah, so the first fun fact is, I can't remember if they showed it in the beginning of the movie, but there's like this idea that it's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm. I know this fact from the slasher history. But go ahead, it's a good one.
So Wes Craven was inspired by a series of articles in the Los Angeles Times over a three-year period about a group of Southeast Asian refugees from Hmong, several of whom died in what seemed to be nightmares. The group had come to the U.S. to escape the murderous reign of Pol Pot, and within a year of arriving, three men had died, all in similar situations. The young, otherwise healthy men would have nightmares and refuse to sleep for as long as they could. When they finally fell asleep from exhaustion, they would wake up screaming and then die. Autopsy results revealed that they had not died from heart failure, but had simply died. Medical authorities have since called the phenomenon, I don't like this name, Asian death syndrome, a variant of sudden unexpected death syndrome.
I'm shaking my head. I know you guys can't see it. Also, what a pathetic coroner is writing, just died. It's not heart failure. They just dead. That's my diagnosis, is dead.
I don't know.
Also, this is like off topic, but I just think that you'll enjoy knowing this. This comic that I know, one time on stage, I'm sure that they meant to say Pol Pot, but they said Paul Pot. And it was so good. And I still think about it. And someday I want to like mention it in an intro when I'm bringing them up.
And then also secondary inspiration for the movie was the 1970s song Dreamweaver, which as soon as I heard that fact, that song played in my head the entire time I was looking at the rest of the facts.
Wait, but really? So that's what the coroners would write? I mean, that just seems crazy.
They made up their own thing. It's sudden unexpected death syndrome.
Like SIDS, but
yeah,
only in these sad SIDS people. Interesting. Isn't Dreamweaver a happy song?
Yeah, but it's like you're thinking about, you're reading this article in the LA Times, and you got the song Dreamweaver, and you're like,
It's like, I really only remember the chorus of Dreamweaver. I don't really remember the verses.
Yeah, it inspired the synthesizer riff from the movie soundtrack. Anyway, so impact. I don't know why I title it this, but I don't know. Wes Craven received a lot of rejection while pitching the movie. The first studio who showed interest was actually Walt Disney Productions.
Hilarious.
Okay, well, wait. They wanted a toned-down version suitable for children and preteens as a family-friendly PG-13 film.
I know. The company that does wind up producing the movie is New Line Cinemas, and this movie actually saved them from bankruptcy. And so after the success of the film, the studio got the nickname The House That Freddy Built.
That's cute.
It also revitalizes the dying slasher genre. Okay, cast facts. Cast slash character. So Freddy is the first one we're going to go into. So I do have a controversial opinion. I actually like the 2010 remake. One of the things that they didn't like about it is, so in this movie, Freddy is a child murderer. In that movie, they say, no, Freddy's a child molester.
Yeah, I pretty much just assume.
Yeah, you just assume.
Yeah.
It makes more sense, too.
It's pretty rare that someone's killing 20 kids and there's not a sexual component.
So people didn't like that because people really like Freddy, and the idea of him being a molester, not just a murderer, is somehow worse.
Well, those people are wrong.
Yeah.
For shame on them that they would even think it's okay to be like, oh, too far. Just kill the kids. Don't touch them.
But that's like never made sense to me because watching it, I always thought, like you said, obviously he's a child molester. It doesn't make sense for the parents to be seeking revenge when it's Nancy's mom is like one of the people who kills Freddy. But I don't know, her kid didn't die. In the remake, they all go to this daycare. Freddy, he's a gardener at the daycare. He's taking them in the basement and molesting them down there. And that's why the parents murder him.
See, it makes sense to me, though, because whenever I think of any child molester or killer, I would love to kill them.
Yes. But and there's also a deleted scene in this original version where Nancy's mom explains that a lot of the kids actually had siblings. And so those kids died. Initially, Freddy Krueger was intended to be a child molester. Wes Craven had changed him to just being a child murderer because at the time he didn't want to be accused of exploiting a separate highly publicized child molestation case that had been occurring in California at the time of the film's production. So in a way, I've always been right. So Craven describes his idea of Freddy, like his inspiration when he was creating the character. These were his thoughts. In a sense, Freddy stands for the worst of parenthood and adulthood. The dirty old man, the nasty father, the adult who wants children to die rather than help them prosper. He's the boogeyman and the worst fear of children. The adult that's out to get them. He's a very primal figure, sort of like Kronos devouring his children. That evil, twisted, perverted father figure that wants to destroy and is able to get them at their most vulnerable moment, which is when they're asleep. Wes Craven named Freddy after a childhood bully.
Aww.
The child was named Fred Krueger.
Oh, dang. First and last name?
That was going to be my next question, but man. Get it, Wes.
Yeah. Craven had actually done the same thing in his movie, The Last House on the Left. That came out in 1972, so way before this one. The villain's name was shortened to just Krug. So I guess this kid was terrible.
Yeah.
Did you get two or movie villains named after you?
I know, he still thinks about you. Man, I wonder what kind of things that kid did to him. I wish we could know.
I know.
Because I wonder if he put any of them in here. Maybe it was a bully who was really into jump scares.
It was maybe.
Is it a bully? I hope. I will think about, like, something mean that I did, like, all the way back in, like, middle school or something, and I will find that person and apologize. Like, I will search them out on social media and be like, I remember this time that I did whatever, and I'm really, really sorry.
Well, another thing Craven wanted to do was he wanted them to be different than, like, the other horror movie villains that were wearing masks, you know, like Leatherface, Mike Myers, Jason, etc. So he wanted to be able to talk, so he thought that's how he got the idea of the burns and scars.
Yeah, I do like that he's a chatter.
Yeah, that's also something. Some.
Yeah, I like an articulate man.
And he wanted him to have a weapon that was, like, different from just, like, a regular knife. So he went to Jim Doyle, the special effects guy, and was like, I want a glove with steak knives on it. And that's how Freddy got his glove. At first, Craven was thinking a sickle
as
his weapon of choice.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Casting Freddy was difficult, too.
So they weren't sure what kind of guy they wanted to cast to play Freddy. So one of the people they actually talked to was Kane Hodder, who actually goes on to play Jason Voorhees. So, like, a big guy they were looking at. They even did a makeup test with actor David Warner. But then they wound up going in a completely different direction, hiring Engel, just, like, smaller guy, obviously. Kane Hodder doesn't have any hard feelings. He says, you know, Wes obviously made the right choice. It's perfect the way it is. And actually, in Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday, Kane gets to be Freddy for a second because he's the glove that comes up from the dirt at the end.
Fun.
So when he was, you know, going through auditions, he couldn't find an actor to play Freddy with the right ferocity. Everyone was too quiet or too compassionate towards children. Then Robert Engel auditioned, and Craven said he wasn't as tall as I'd hoped, and he had baby fat on his face. But he impressed me with his willingness to go to the dark places in his mind. Robert understood Freddy. Oh, but something that I thought was really fun. Before Engel went into the casting, his agent, Joe Rice, his friend, Rhett Tomham, recommended that Engel act rat-like and weasel-like, adding, when he read about abusers and molesters in newspapers, they were not big, hulking men, but weasels. And I thought he should go in and play it like that. And it worked. And Robert Engel himself says when he was in character, he tried to base it on serial killers like Ted Bundy and BTK, who they didn't know who it was at the time, but because I always think it's so crazy because BTK wasn't even, like, known about, like, that he was Dennis Rader until, like, 2000 and something.
I know, it's so weird.
It's so weird.
He just got to go on living so long.
I know, have a whole family. Go to his daughter's high school graduation. Anyway, Nancy now. When they were casting for Nancy, Craven wanted someone who was, like, non-Hollywood, who just, like, kind of looked more, like, believable as, like, a normal girl kind of thing. And so when he met Heather Langenkamp, it was a match made in heaven. And also, Heather Langenkamp's boyfriend at the time of shooting is credited in the movie because he wrote Freddy's nursery rhyme.
Oh, nice.
I know. Man, these scream queens be doing so much for their boyfriends.
I know. I wonder why. Like, I wonder how. Because it's very incorporated in the story.
It is. It is.
So weird.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I knew, like, the whole story behind it.
Now we're moving on to Glenn, a.k.a. Johnny Depp. So this was, like, they even say it in the credits that this is introducing Johnny Depp.
I know. I thought to myself when it said that, that I wondered if it had always said that or if they had changed it to that when they were like, he's big.
I mean, it looks like it always said that to me. So at the time, Johnny Depp was unknown, like I said. But he was also accompanied to the audition by his friend Jackie Earle Hale, who went on to play Freddy in the 2010 remake. According to Depp, they originally wanted Glenn to be a big, blonde, beach jock football player guy. And, I mean, Johnny Depp doesn't really fit that appearance. He's, like, skinnier, dark hair. But Wes Craven's daughters picked Depp's headshot when he showed them to them and was like, they want him for this role. They were like, cute, we like him.
That's funny.
So this is funny. Charlie Sheen was almost cast in this role. I mean, I could see a young Charlie Sheen. Not today, Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen now is crazy. I mean, they all get crazy.
I was gonna say, yeah. It's true of someone else too.
But allegedly he asked for too much money. But Sheen says, I didn't price myself out of it because I didn't get greedy until years later. That came much later. I just didn't get it. And I've never been more wrong about interpreting a script. I just didn't get it completely. But I still took the meeting with Wes. And when I met him, I said, look, with all due respect, and as a fan of your talents, I just don't see this guy wearing a funny hat and a rotted face and a striped sweater and a bunch of clanky fingers. I just don't see this catching on. So wrong.
I mean, at least he knows he's wrong.
Yeah, he knows he's wrong.
He's like, my bad.
Oh, and just before Glenn dies in the movie, the broadcaster announces on the radio, it's midnight and you're listening to KRGR, which is Kruger without the vowels.
Cute.
Oh, this fact is crazy though.
Do tell.
So Rod. He's the one who goes to jail.
Okay, yes.
Juice Garcia, who's cast as Rod and is credited as Nick Corey, was dealing with depression due to recent homelessness.
Oh.
And the way he was coping was by snorting heroin in the bathroom between takes. In 2014, he revealed that he was high on heroin during the scene where Landon Camp comes into the jail cell. And this is what she says. His eyes were watery and they weren't focused, Landon Camp said. I thought, wow, he's giving the best performance of his life. He was high as a kite. He's since got his life together. He's doing a lot better.
I'm glad because I definitely thought that this was leading up to you telling me that he hung himself.
No.
And I was like, oh.
No, no.
I thought for sure that's where it was going.
No.
When you tell me a fact's going to be crazy, I go for the
difference. I know, you.
I got high. I'm like, lay it on me.
Okay, so now, set and effects. The high school that they go to is the same high school in Greece and Pretty in Pink. And the scene where Freddy gets set on fire and chases Nancy up the stairs, basement. Jump Man was supposed to only run up the stairs, but he improvised, ran up the stairs, fell back down, ran back up. And he won the best stunt of the year for that scene. Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so in the scene where Tina is thrashing across the ceiling, they use a big rotating room to get the effect. And because they didn't have any money for hydraulics, it was manually rolled. And for the two shots where Rod is seen in it, he's actually upside down. And his hair, they just put so much product in his hair that it stayed down. And they use that same room for the blood geyser scene. Mm-hmm. They just like redecorated it. So the scene where all that's just like blood and water, or not, it's not blood. It's not blood. It's just water and color. So just like water and red coloring. So they're using this rotating room and then they accidentally gets turned the wrong way and it goes out and there's like, it's like gets on some of the electrical equipment.
No.
And on the DVD commentary, Wes Craven remarks that the room was spinning the wrong way. It was like the Ferris wheel from hell. And I guess it was a record maybe at the time. I don't know. I saw a lot of conflicting things because he used over 500 gallons of fake blood. And apparently the TV version just replaces it with a skeleton shooting out of the hole in the bed.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
I know. It's weird. And they just smashed in the ceiling. But anyway, The Shining, which came before, used, I think, 300 gallons. I saw conflicting reports where it said 3,000, but most of them said 300. And then the movie Dead Alive came after this, used 1,000 gallons. And then
I think now it's like It, right?
I mean, It brags about using the most. Well, it bragged about using a lot. It used 5,000 gallons. But actually, 2013's Evil Dead blew that out of the water. It used 50,000 gallons. And currently, Markiplier's make
1,000?
Yeah, 50,000.
You even need that much.
The rain.
The rain.
Currently, Markiplier is almost positive he's beaten that record with the new movie he's making. It's like a Markiplier, Mark Fishbach, he's a YouTuber. He's making this movie called Rust. It's based off of one of the horror video games he's played. And he's confident he's beaten this record. I'd like to know how much blood they used.
Yeah, if I was going to make a gory horror movie, it's like, you just kind of have the desire to go for the record at that point.
And you're like, why not?
Like, I wouldn't just go for it with any old horror movie, but if I knew it was going to be real bloody anyway. Also, though, can you imagine being the people on set who had to clean up the first blood scene to get ready for the next in that room?
No, it sucked. And so there's a scene where Nancy, she's fallen asleep watching a movie. And so she's watching Sam Raimi's Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Wes Craven put that in because Raimi had featured the Hills Have Eyes poster in the Evil Dead. Aww. And in return, after that, Raimi featured Freddy Krueger's glove in the workshed scene of Evil Dead 2. And then later in Ash versus Evil Dead.
It's so cute.
I know.
I love it. Little besties blossoming.
Oh, and so this is basically my last one. The ending. Wes Craven wanted a happy ending. He wanted Nancy to wake up and her friends and mom to all be alive. Anyway, according to Craven, the original ending of the script has Nancy coming out of the door. It's unusually cloudy and foggy day. The car pulls up. Her dead friends are in it. She's startled. She goes and gets in the car, wondering what's going on. And then they drive away in the fog and the mother's left standing at the doorstep, and then that's it. It's very brief and very suggestive that maybe life is sort of a dream too. Shay wanted Freddy Krueger to be driving a car and have the kids screaming. It all became very negative and felt a philosophical tension to my ending. Shay said that Wes Craven, I guess he said this to Wes Craven's face, said Wes Craven's ending was so 60s, it's stupid. He said that to his face.
I mean, he's probably like a producer or something, I would think.
I guess. But anyway, so Wes Craven refused to have Freddy in the driver's seat. They thought of about 5 different endings, and they used the one with the mother being pulled through the door because it amused everyone. Mm. They were like, that's good. But Craven's always maintained that his film should have had a happy ending that he originally wrote.
Thank you for those fun facts. Now let's talk about scares.
I love the scene where Nancy's in school and Tina is in the clear body bag. They don't exist. Mm-hmm. But she's in the clear body bag and all bloody, and she's like trying to get Nancy to follow her. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so creepy.
Yeah, I did like that a lot. It feels like the exact type of nightmare that you would have the next day too. Like, since they were showing pictures of your dead friend on the news.
Yes, yes.
One thing that I liked, and it's not necessarily like a specific moment, but I liked in general how, because they were dreams, reality wasn't reality anymore. So it's like you walk in through one exit, but you can't leave through that exit because it doesn't exist anymore. Or Freddy's over there, but he can be right behind you in the next moment. Like, that keeps you on your toes when you don't know what's what.
Yeah, there's no rules in dreams.
Exactly. Yes, the no rules. That was a little scary.
Yeah.
Again, not, I mean, it's so rare for a movie to like actually scare me, but I like the concept.
Yeah.
What were the funniest moments? It's funny.
Yeah. Man,
I even liked the joke right off the top when he's like, I woke up with a boner with your name written on this morning. And she's like, my name is 4 letters. I don't think it could, I'm like, I don't know how you could fit it.
A sick burn. They're her boyfriend that she sleeps with later.
I know, gross. Also, when she made the comment of like, I knew I liked you for some reason, you don't think that was their first time, right?
No way.
Yeah.
You don't have your first time with your friends downstairs.
I would hope not.
No, not like that. No.
Yeah. Just a weird comment to make.
Yes, yes.
But their relationship was weird and full of weird comments, so.
Yeah. As for funny moments, I don't know. I don't know if I like think it's funnier where the phone suddenly is Freddy's tongue. I'm your boyfriend now.
That is super funny. I would love a Freddy phone.
Or just the fact that, like, Glenn's death is just getting sucked into the bed. Like, that's crazy.
But not just in. He comes back out just in a different form.
Also, the fact that he's listening to his headphones and watching TV.
And just so open with his mom about what he's doing. He's like, yeah, I'm just about to basically look at this half naked. She's like, you won't be able to hear. It's like, who cares what she says?
Yeah, I'm listening to my record. I'm just here to look at her.
The hidden coffee pot was really fun.
Oh my gosh, how did I already forget about that?
It's so good.
It's so good.
Also,
pulled out a, mom doesn't even, taking all the coffee cups and everything. Mom doesn't even notice that there's coffee brewing under her bed.
Literally drip, drip, dripping right then.
Just the smell of coffee filling the room. Fresh coffee.
Oh, and so good. Oh my gosh. Also, I just love the mother's alcoholism. It's so good. It's everything I want it to be. And I love, my favorite parts of it are before they actually address it. When she just keeps moving the bottle of, like, vodka, I'm guessing, around. It's so funny. I'm not shocked that guy was on heroin. He had the crazy eyes. He was still in pretty good shape, though.
I mean, I think it's...
Towards the beginning?
Yeah.
Is that up for funniest?
I think so.
What were our least favorite parts?
I know it's like a really iconic scene, but it looks too cheesy. And I mean, I guess it's a dream, but like when Freddy's stretching his arms across the alley.
That was funny.
It's too cheesy.
When it's basically the only time that he could do that particular weird thing. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it was funny though. Especially the way that he ran down the alley. That was, it was real good. My least favorite part for sure was the idea of her having this crazy loud orgasm. I was like, no way. There's no chance. Like, I don't believe it. And then the idea that then they... It's
performative on Tina's part.
Either way, though, you are performing so loud in a house where you know that you have friends over. And then when they go to them, I don't even want to repeat it, but when she is like, Tarzan fix Jane.
Oh, yeah. Hated that so much.
So much. It's definitely, it's one of those, there are just moments all the time in screenplays that men write where you're like, written by a man. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm. No one's surprised.
Exactly. Ugh. So that was my least favorite part. What were our favorite parts?
I think, I didn't include this in the fun facts, but the part where Nancy's in the tub, not that that's my favorite part. I just think it's cool that it's like, so they did that where it's a bottomless tub and it's set into a pool.
Oh.
That's how they're able to achieve that.
That's cool.
Which is pretty cool. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I do think my favorite parts are like, I really love the scene where Tina's in the body bag. I think that's just like so well done. And visually, like just like the long hallway and the lighting, I think it's just like real perfect. And I do like the fact that when Nancy burns herself, you see them burn the whole movie.
Yeah. Although I will say the burn was not on her in English class because I specifically looked for it and it wasn't on her until she got out of the school. And when Freddie comes into her bedroom with her, when she pulls him out of the dream, that coffee pot is full when it's in the background, but then when she hits him with it, it's empty. So continuity person, suck it. But I'm sure they weren't getting paid all that much. But I did like that it was then there for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it could have been done better by the makeup people also. But again, but yes, I support most of what you're saying, even though I seem to have just torn it down.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. What is this, favorite parts?
Yeah.
Okay, my favorite part were the physical jump scares. I love that Freddy would jump out of bushes and just like, and just jump, like not lunge for her, just jump out and be like, like, it was so good. I love a...
Can't kill Nancy first. She's his favorite.
A tailor-made jump scare. That's everything I want in a movie. Those are the good ones. All right, what do we think of the old plot quality?
You know, I think it's... I mean, I like it, and it's, like, good, but the idea that Freddy's coming back for revenge when he doesn't deserve to be getting revenge, like, he got his just desserts.
Yes.
He's child murderer molester. Another thing about the 2010 version is they were... A lot of people think that it's a reskin of this movie, which it pretty much is, but one of the things they thought about doing was changing it so that Freddy was wrongly accused.
Yeah, which would make more sense.
So much more sense than coming back for revenge and like killing these children.
And be like, now I am what you made me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the twist that I was expecting.
That's the twist you want, but it's not the twist we got.
No.
It's got an ambiguous ending.
Yeah, I don't like the end. I don't. I mean, I like it just fine visually, but I do think it's a little too ambiguous. Like, yeah. I guess that I'm left to be like, they're all dead. Like, I guess that's where I'm left, but it just feels weird.
Yeah, I can't remember enough about the second one to know if they mentioned what happened to Nancy. Because in the second one, he moves into Nancy's house, and that's why Freddy Krueger starts popping up in his life. Also, side note, that house is the house Bo Burnham filmed inside in. The guest house in the backyard. They lived in that house.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. It is also... Like you just said, it's funny that then the second movie is called Freddy's Revenge. Because it's like, dude, you know, like, first off, we just watched a whole movie of your revenge. And also, why do you think you deserve revenge? And then also, I thought it was funny to see that the third movie and the fourth movie came out like back to back, like 1 year, then the next year. And in my mind, I was like, did the third movie do so well that you were like, quick, get this fourth movie out? Or had the person just already written the fourth because they were like, I got big ideas, big plans.
Who knows? Who knows?
Anything else you want to add about any of it?
Not really. I feel like the acting was a little stiff in the beginning of the movie, especially.
Yeah, I could see that.
But they're all kids, you know.
Yeah, it's not perfection or anything, of course. But for a slasher, not terrible.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Sure. Which is what slasher should be.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a tough one for me. I don't know why. I'm going to give it 3.5 Blood Geysers.
I will give it 3.1 Blood Geysers. All right, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Scary Movie Clubcast and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. See you next movie night, and don't forget, there are 14 days till Halloween. Bye.
Bye.
2 weeks.
Time to review, and then you come back with an oh.
Well, I can remember where we left off. Golly. Whatever, I have to edit this anyway.
Enjoy.
Oh, I didn't mention. Did I put this later? Oh, I put it later. Never mind. I think I was about to say.
We're cutting out that whole other fact that I read that long quote, okay?
That'd be funny if you only had half of your lessons.
No, it's just I have the whole thing there. I just don't know who this other person is. Shay? Maybe he was like the director. No, what's Craven directed?
You're just making me picture the person that we know is Shay.
That's not her. Like,
Wes, I have an idea.
Look, I know I'm not born yet.
And I'm not really that into horror.
But.
Thank you, Amanda, for that over 30 minutes of fun facts.
Okay, one of the facts is getting taken out. And it was a long one.
30 minutes, and you're like, I'm going to take one of them out.
Plenty of other stuff in there that I wasn't even talking.
Well, you can have your 30 minutes of fun facts because we are bing, bang, booming through the rest of them.
Killing it now.
You remember the geyser we saw in Iceland?
Yeah.
Fun times.
Imagine if it was blood.
I would never go back to that country.
No.
Would be the second weird mythical thing that we saw in Iceland.
I know. I'd be like, oh my gosh. It's like some midsummer.
And be like, they got semen and blood geysers here.
I'm gonna throw a little geyser.
I should say merman.
Yeah, no, not semen. I thought you said semen.
What?
Like, ejaculate.
Why would I be talking about that?
I don't know, because I was thinking about the teacher.
Or just, like, nodding, like, oh, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I'm in summer now.
Have you forgot?
The stuff and the stuff she fed them, I was like, oh, what?
Have you forgotten about the merman that we saw?
No, I didn't forget about the merman, but I don't think of the merman. I don't think... The semen and merman are not the same.
I was just thinking of like a person in the water.
Mer-person, merman, mermaid.
I feel like that makes them sound like pleasant and mythical though, and this was creepy and scary.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do 3.5 or 4. I'm torn.
I mean, you do love a slasher.
I do.
But this one isn't your favorite by any means.
What did I give? I Know What You Did.
Oh, that one won't be in there yet, because we just... I mean, you just edited this episode. Did you not get to the rankings yet?
It's done, but I don't...
That's embarrassing. Well, can you just pull it up real quick?
No. It was like... We did the book, too.
But it'll still be at the end, right?
Somewhere.
We can just pause this recording. You're, like, panicking like you have to disable a bomb. It's not like that.
This is serious.
Well, I know. Just pause it, and then we can look, and then you can know.
No, I got it.
I will say, I Know What You Did Last Summer, better than this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just true. This is not bad.
I think
I Know What You Did Last Summer is.
Because it's got the budget.
Yeah.
On top of everything.
Future Amanda who's editing this, do you feel good about your 30 minutes of fun facts? I bet you. And then you're mad at me when I'm like, well, we still need to do the movie part, which probably took 10 minutes.
It's like 40 minutes before the thing was over.